Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
So you're going to have to bear with me for a moment as I kind of set this up, explaining why a mayoral candidate, Paul Vallas, for the city of Chicago, who's got a very good shot at it, incidentally, is on a pet show. The phrase animal welfare truly matters, and I've written about this in more detail on the aforementioned newly updated website, so check it out, stevedale.tv. It truly matters at so many different levels. For one thing, there's that link that I've talked about on this show before. Experts have said that if people are violent to one another in a community, that in fact law enforcement uses the term and also health professionals use the term the link, and have for decades at this point in time, that there really is that link between being violent to animals and being violent to people. Domestic violence abusers often abuse animals before and again simultaneous to them attacking people. So we know if that is true, I personally would suggest that if we're kinder to animals, we'll be kinder to one another. But animals also play other important roles in our society, no matter which community you live in. For kids, growing up with animals, it turns out, make them better adults, better meaning more empathetic. And there are many studies to demonstrate how and why growing up with animals really does make a difference to children. Animals, dogs in particular, in a community. You walk your dog, and most people, you know this if you have a dog, most people who walk in the other direction, with the dog or not, smile. You can't help it. Unless you've had a bad experience with dogs or are afraid, and usually there's no logical explanation for that fear, of a certain breed and you have that breed, most people, the overwhelming majority, smile. Now, what difference does that make? Well, just by smiling, endorphins in your head are doing a little happy dance. So just by walking dogs, that's all, you're spreading a little joy. But you're also doing much more. You're making the community safer. Larger dogs deter crime. Just people being out deters crime. And the more dogs there are, the more people are out walking their dogs and paying attention to what's happening in the area. If you have a dog, you're a Gladys Kravitz. You're watching the neighbors. You can't help it. You're walking by. You see what's going on. And law enforcement, in fact, is well aware of that. And I'm just beginning. I could go on for an hour and a half, at least, about how dogs and cats make us better. Companion animals make us better. Listen, most people in America and in Chicago have a pet. Statistically, most people have a pet. No one forces us, to my knowledge, to have a pet. It's a responsibility. It costs some money, but yet we do it, and we do it because we want to do it. Well, I've never until now met a mayoral candidate that understands all of this and the importance of how this is intertwined, and companion animals, in fact, improve all of us. I'm standing here, and I am expressing my point of view, but it's really based on fact. Our current mayor doesn't much care about that. He fired our director of Chicago Animal Care and Control because she moved us, the city of Chicago, into no-kill territory, where 90-plus percent of companion animals get out of a municipal facility alive and well. That wasn't supposed to happen. That did happen because of Susan Russell and his response, and volunteers and other employees, for sure. And his response, fire her. Fired her because he's concerned about his own image and reputation, not at all about the animals at large, and doesn't understand the connections that I just alluded to. Well, one man who understands all of that is Paul Vallis, who is running for mayor. Paul, I wanted to set all this up, and I hope you understand, and I apologize for the long explanation, but I wanted to explain why a mayoral candidate would be on a pet show. Now, I want you to talk about companion animals, and I know what they've meant to you personally, what your dog means to you personally, and good morning, and welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, and the introduction was certainly overwhelming. I also want to compliment you, Steve, because you've really articulated the importance of this issue. And look, people will also say, well, why are you doing a radio show on to talk about companion animals when there's so many other challenges that the city faces? And, of course, as you well know, I've done a lot of radio shows on a lot of extremely important issues, from city financing to how we're going to address the issue of ensuring that all of our communities are safe and secure. But this is an important issue, too. And you know, part of the reason I'm here is you invited me to participate. And you know, I think the points that you make are so appropriate. Companion animals are important. They're important for people. They're important on not only for accomplishing the things that you articulated. And, you know, I never thought about that perspective, the perspective of the degree to which having a companion animal will bring you out into the community and make you more observant and, you know, establish more of a community presence. You know, people are observing things when they're out there walking their dogs and caring for their dogs. But I know as a as someone who always had I had every pet imaginable when I was very young. We had dogs, and I used to sneak stray cats into the basement. And when they started meowing, my mother would come down and say, "Oh no, not again!" And I had, I had frogs, and I had turtles. You name it. If a bird broke a wing, I would bring the bird home. It's funny because in the back of the yard we had a pet cemetery, so to speak, because, of course, I would bring a bird home with a broken wing, and then obviously the bird would pass away, and my mother would go out into the yard, and, you know, we would bury the bird and things like that. So I've always had a thing for animals. And I think in part I was a very lonely child. I was a stutter and stammer until really I was in my early 20s. And when I was very young, I stuttered to the degree to which I just was kind of reluctant to talk. So I was very introverted, very shy, and, you know, I had vision issues that weren't identified until about eighth grade. I remember when I first got my glasses in eighth grade, I thought I was looking at an entirely new world. So I don't know, maybe that's the reason that I always gravitated towards pets, because, you know, pets are forgiving, pets are comforting. You know, who knows what the real reasons were? Maybe because as a very, very young child, I was always, you know, I was always introverted and to a degree on the lonely side, you know, and pets can give you comfort. So I just can tell you from my personal experience the importance of having a comforting pet and a loving pet. And, of course, we got our first dog when I was in first grade, Fluffy. And the dog was with us for 17 years. Hmm. In fact, Fluffy actually had puppies three times, and I'll tell you that we not only loved the dog, but the dog brought so much to our home. And you know, while I've done a lot of work both nationally and internationally on school reform. So in the past couple of decades, we've all not always had a pet at home. My wife has virtually always had a pet, and she's always had a dog. And from the day I met her, and of course, my boys before they grew up and left the home, obviously were always in a household with a dog. So, you know, dogs have been very, very important to us and obviously very, very comforting to us, as you well know. But, you know, I think there's so much we can do to ensure that we have safer, more humane communities, because they are possible. When
I want to interrupt you for just a second, because you slid by something that I'm going to push you on a little bit, because you and I have talked privately, and this is public, otherwise I wouldn't bring it up, that you had a son that passed away and was... And I can't imagine the heartbreak of a parent when that happens. It's, I'm sure, beyond words. And your dog, you told me privately, has been more of a consistent presence and a solace, and has helped, sort of a four-legged therapist, if you will, has helped your wife through this the best that anyone can get through such a thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm usually reluctant to talk about those things, and I know I had mentioned that to you in private, and I appreciate, you know, I understand you're referencing it, but suffice to say, you know, clearly, animals can be so comforting, and look, you know, the research, everything we know about companion animals drives home the point that how animals can be comforting and therapeutic in their own way. So suffice to say that Jax, which is, it's wonderful Labrador, is just, Jax has a personality all his own, has been an important presence in the household, and my wife has always been extremely close to our dog over the years, and to all the dogs that she's had as pets. I can't remember, I remember when we dated, she always had a dog at home. So clearly, you know, I think the dog has been a very comforting presence. In fact, when my middle boy moved to San Antonio, he's a policeman. When he completed his tour of duty for the Marines and he moved to Texas to become a police officer, they were fighting over whether or not he was going to take Jax with him. So, of course, my wife refused to let the dog go, even though, you know, Gus actually was the one who went out and purchased the dog, obviously when the dog was a puppy. So, you know, suffice to say, the dog's been very important, a very important companion in the household.
All right. Now, you're here also to make a couple of announcements about what you're going to do when you're mayor regarding animal care and control, and regarding integrating sort of everything I talked about earlier and understanding the importance that companion animals mean to a community. When we come back, we will hear what those are. It is 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN, 312-981-7200. You can text, you can call at that number. Oral candidate Paul Vallis on the phone. Paul, you get into office. What are you going to do regarding companion animals?
Well, the first thing I'll do is I'll set up an animal welfare advisory group to really do the following. I don't consider myself an expert in this area. I mean, I recognize the importance of having humane communities and the role that companion animals can play. And obviously, from a personal standpoint, I've already, I think, articulated the importance of having companion animals and how they can be part of the family and help in so many ways. But, it's important that you create a vehicle that allow the stakeholders, individuals who are interested in these issues and are advocates or want to play an advocacy role to play. And by creating an animal welfare advisory group and then really empowering that group to help set policy, to make budget recommendations, to help with fundraising, to help establish priority, and then finally to provide oversight and accountability, I think is really important because, obviously, as mayor, you have your own opinion, your own ideas that you're going to bring to the table. But really generating the type of community support to be effective requires that you set up a mechanism that allows the community to participate, and to participate in a substantive way, not a cosmetic way. So I think by setting up an advisory group that really has the power to to recommend policies, to set priorities, to weigh in on budget issues, and to, in effect, provide the type of oversight and to ensure the type of transparency and accountability would go a long way towards making sure that we have an agenda, that we have an agenda that is the right one, and that we continue to have high release rates, and we continue to be a more humane city.
Our current mayor has never been to Animal Care and Control. I know you've been there because I saw you there. In addition to that, has never met our executive director, who was Susan Russell for over 2 years. You happen to know Susan Russell, so you've already met her more than once. Will you, whoever the executive director is, will that office door be open to meet with you as well?
Well, first of all, absolutely. But, you know, let me point out that when I was budget director in the 90s, when I was city budget director, during the time I'm in ad, that when we were not borrowing and we were balancing our budgets and fully funding our pensions, I met with all the department heads, and I met with the director of animal control frequently. You probably remember Mr. Pahalik.
And I do.
And so
that goes back.
Absolutely. Yeah, it goes way back.
Yeah.
So yes, look, you make the time to be accessible to everyone. You know, obviously, certain departments, certain agencies are more important than others, certainly just based on their size and the services that they provide. But you just make the time. You make the time to visit with everyone. You make the time to work with those directors and in the case of animal control, as well as other agencies, the advisory councils, to really help articulate a vision and the policies and the budget priorities to support that vision, because it makes governance much easier and much more effective when the people feel that they have a stake. And what's also very important is that you have a director who is an advocate. You know, I remember some people said, well, you know, Susan Russell's a zealot. And I remember responding by saying, you know, you need a zealot to speak on behalf of animals because animals can't speak for themselves.
Well put.
So at the end of the day, you need somebody who is extraordinarily dedicated, sometimes to the point literally, you know, driving you crazy because that individual feels that this is at least for her the most important issue and one of the highest priorities. So you need to put people in that position who first of all love animals and have had personal experiences in caring for animals and with companion animals, and is going to be the strongest advocate for their welfare, because, you know, who's to do that? But just making the right selection alone is not enough. As I mentioned, you've got to create a mechanism that allow all the advocates, the individuals in the community who are really interested in this issue and recognize the importance of this issue, to have a vehicle for having input and to have a vehicle for ensuring that there's accountability.
All right. Well put. I've got a break. I'm over time here. Paul Vallis, thank you very much. You can read more about all of what we spoke about and more, and that's on my blog, which is stevedale.tv, and it's newly updated as well.